I want to finish off a couple of things today. Firstly, two topics I want to try to get through, whatever we can. One is to finish off our discussion of Mechila, Tricha and Einer Tricha Kinyan, and some of the issues and some of the examples of that. And then to speak a little bit about, bring to your awareness, some of the issues in Lo Saguru Bipnei Ish, which is an interesting topic. And then next Monday, I can't make it. I have a wedding and then something after the wedding. So next Monday is Memorial Day. That's always kind of a tricky... What's that? Yeah. Okay, so next Monday, if we could spread the word. No shir next Monday now.
So when I send out these, I'll put a paragraph. I'll try to do it tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm not sure about the Monday night after that either, but I think that should be okay.
June, you were often very busy with weddings.
What's that?
I said in June, you were often very busy with weddings.
Yeah, so it happens. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear. But definitely next Monday night, I would be able to make it. Okay, so for sure, the next time we meet, I'd like to start on the next Gemara, which is the Gemara of Chesun, Beis, and Tesum, and Aleph. That's pretty much, we've done everything till there. Today I want to finish up with these two, what we can about these two topics, Mechila Tzricha Kinyan and Lo Saguru Bipnei Ish. So regarding Mechila Tzricha Kinyan, it comes up through our Gemara in Bava Min Aleph, as you remember, discusses whether Pshara requires a Kinyan. The Bali Tosas, this was the analysis, the Pshara part of the analysis, because in my opinion the Bali Tosas understood that Pshara is a kind of an arrangement. It's like a simulation of din, but really it's a concession to shalom against the riva and against the riyaz and against quite a few other rishonim. But because Bali Tosas, at least the big Tosas, feels that way, Tosas felt that the topic of mechila tzricha, of pshara tzricha, rein tzricha kinyan, is part of or needs to be coordinated with a larger topic of whether mechila tzricha or ein tzricha kinyan. In other words, if you take the view that pshara is an alternative form of din itself, then on the surface it has nothing whatsoever to do with the theme of pshara of mechila tzricha kinyan or ein tzricha kinyan, because it's not a case of mechila; it's a case of committing right to an alternative root, if you will, of din. So, since the Bali Tosas didn't see it that way, they felt that the question of Pshara Tzricha Rein Tzricha Kinyan was at least connected to the topic of Mechila Tzricha Kinyan, and therefore they go out of their way to tell you that, by the way, the evidence in Shas is unequivocal that while Pshara does require a Kinyan, but generally Mechila Eina Tzricha Kinyan. That's the view of Tosas on Vav Amud Aleph. What we discussed last time was that this is also the view of most of the Rishonim. There are some who disagree, but most of the Rishonim agree that Mechila ain't Tzricha Kinyan. And the question that arises is why? Why does Mechila not require a Kinyan? And are there any exceptions to the rule, any fallout from this question of whether Mechila ain't Tzricha Kinyan or the reasons for Mechila ain't Tzricha Kinyan? So last time I was trying to suggest that there were several perspectives which could explain Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan, and actually debate among those who hold that Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan why that is so. That there is one group which thinks that Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan is a total misnomer, because really what we mean is that in Mechila there always is a Kinyan, because that Kinyan is a Kinyan Kesef, Kilu is Kabalti, or a Kinyan Chatzer, because it's already physically in the Rishus of the other fellow. And once the other party, the original owner, drops his ownership, so then the presence in the chatzer is no longer one which is encumbered in any way, and therefore it can now work as a kinyan chatzer. Or to use the language of the Bala Itur, which now you have in front of you in the Numar Makomos, and that is that Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan, if you look at the language of the Itur, Os Mem Mechila, Daf Nun Dalet Tur Dalet, everybody have that? Mechila She'ena Derech Pshara, we'll get back to the rest of it in a minute, this is the third entry on the page. Mechila She'ena Derech Pshara, Eina Tzricha Kinyan, Delo Michsara Meshicha. Right? He doesn't say it doesn't need a Kenyan because it doesn't need a Kenyan. He says because, you know, there is implicitly a Kenyan. It's already in his guy's rishus. So one group of Mefarshim is of the opinion that Mechila ain't tricha Kenyan because in the case of Mechila, there always is a Kenyan. But Lui Yitzur, there's not. Let's say you think it means Chatzer, and the object in question is in a neutral territory. It's not in the possession of the future owner, the person you want to be the recipient of your Mechila. Then you wouldn't say that Mechila ain't tricha Kenyan, right? The second perspective is the view that Mechila in Tzricha Kenyan is not a misnomer. It means what it says, meaning there is no Kenyan and you don't need a Kenyan. But the reason for that is because maybe the requirement of Kenyan is connected to the physical transfer of the object. And when there's no requirement to transfer it physically because it's already where it needs to be, there are no remnants, there's nothing to do. If it's not mechusar maisa, if you will, then there's no requirement of kenyan. So that's the case, that any time it's not mechusar maisa, we'll say mechila in tzricha kenyan. That's different than the first perspective, but it's close to it. Physically, the circumstances are going to be similar, though legally, right, it's a different perspective. The third view is the view that mechila in tzricha kenyan is based on the principle that the reason that we generally require kenyan is to strengthen the smichus das, meaning to establish that he is really fully committed to this course of action. It's not enough that he verbalized. We certainly reject dvarim shebelev and say that they're inam dvar. Right? If a person had something in mind but he never expressed it, all things being equal, there are a couple of exceptions, but that's not for right now. But typically the halacha is that dvarim shebelev inam dvar. Now, how far do we go with that? So you need to objectify your commitment. But is it enough to objectify it verbally without also doing the maisa kinyan? So there's a group of mefarshim that will say it depends whether or not it's the kind of built-in situation where there is smichus das, and therefore you don't need further reinforcement of that smichus das, or not. So the idea here might be that when you are letting something go, as opposed to transferring, taking where you need an initiative to transfer an object from rishus, from your rishus to someone else's rishus, that requires smichus das. But where something is a right or a prerogative, and you're relinquishing it, you're being mevater or mochel on the schus, so that's a kind of an inherent, that's inherently serious, simply by basis of the verbal commitment, given what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So then it would be mechila ein tzricha kinyan, because this is an inherently serious, committed course, given what it is that you're trying to accomplish. The fourth perspective, and the one which I think is the most promising, although I think that there are echoes of all of these, is the idea that mechila is just a completely different kind of transaction. And there's a lot of overlap between these four, obviously. Namely, that mechila is not a kinyan. Mechila is, as we said before, the dropping of a right. I have a right to collect, right? I'm waiving that right. And that might be connected to other issues as well. Namely, we should scrutinize, we should scour the dinim of mechila to try to figure out whether there aren't other exceptions to the regular requirements of kinyan, in addition to Maisa Kenyan. So, for example, as we explain, the rule generally is that Eina da makne davar shelo baliolam. You can't usually transact on something which isn't in your domain or which doesn't exist. A future of some sort. Future, you know, in terms of your connection to it, future in terms of its existence in the world. There are different types of davar shelo baliolam. But the rule is that Eina da makne davar shelo baliolam. Can you be mochel davar shelo baliolam? So that seems to be a major debate. And I think we gave the example last week of Yerusha, right, where the Gemara in discussing the Mishnah, but the Gemara discussing the Mishnah in Balvasar, Kufcha Bav Medeis, talks about a Bechor, Bechaye Ha'av, or Pashut, Bechaye Ha'av, right, renouncing the extra share in the case of Bechor, the regular share in the case of Pashut. Can you do that or not? The Gemara seems to be questioning whether you can do that, and there are two girsos. The way the Rashbam has the girsos in the Gemara, it's, you know, hacha mikamachil, meaning he's not serious. It's the Morish is alive and he's, you know, active. So it's posturing. Or even if he thinks he means it, he doesn't mean it because it's not, you know, practical at the moment. But in theory, if he was serious, if we could know that he was serious, maybe he could. But the Rashbam's girsa of the Gemara is hasam mimachil, not mikamachil, meaning the question isn't whether he means it or not. The question is he just can't do it because it's a davar shel bal yola. In other words, the Rashba zeroes in on the problem of davar shel bal yola. It sounds like the Rashbam thinks that Adam mochel davar shel bal yola in theory. And similarly, you have a similar issue regarding, as I mentioned, knas, whether you can be mochel a knas, which is a lo bal yola in a way because it's before hamana bedin. And once again, you have 2 days in the Yerushalmi, 2 days in the Rishonim, how to read the Yerushalmi, etc. The idea that a mechila is not a kinyan, and that we treat rights and prerogatives differently than we do ownership or title of concrete objects, is something which then should be pursued, right, in things like davar shel bal yolam, in other issues as well. This question of why it is that mechila is eina tzricha kinyan, and therefore, by extension, possible nafkamina, comes to a head when we think of two interesting debates in our sugya, which we mentioned last time and which I want to pursue a little bit more now. One is milva sheyesh alav shtar, and the other is milva sheyesh aleha mashka. Okay? So with regard to the one of shtar, let's start with that very quickly. So we have the following issue. We have it in the Mordechai. I think we read it last time, but I just want to read it again. Quickly, this is on the first page of the Mordechai in Sanhedrin, column 2. It's number Tuf Resh Pei, I think, but it's on column 2 already. If you look at the where the lines become wider. Right below the Haggah, right, it says, Aval mechila below bez and zimnin bai kinyan, zimnin lo bai kinyan. Vehu nechlak lebez drakin. Im mochal chovel chavero, sheyesh alav, hein shtar, hein valpeh, midaita below pashranim, kana. Ho vachov biaralove, zocha bamesha biyado, kaosa shashaninu, bershus alokeach. Kivan shekibal alav mocher, kana lokeach. And then he adds, "V'chein mid Shmuel, Tamar Shmuel, a mocher shnachov the chaver, v'chazer machol machol, v'mechila below shum kinyanu, dibay kinyan l'matzi machol shekvar kno l'lo keach, u'machar lo hashtar, gam kasav hashtar alav, kinyatan v'chachomer bein shekasav lo masav bein masav lo kasav lo kana ad sheyichtov yimsar elavadai hoya mechila below kinyan, v'tama mishum damrinan." Duck bechush b'nei below posh legabe below midi v'habekilu hoda she'enu chayev lo klum ama below kinyan have a mechila v'kol shekain dimlo mecharu la'acher dematzi machil. Okay, so basically, what does the this quotation from Rutenberg and Mordechai? What he says is that mechila ain't a tzricha kinyan, and that that is true whether there is a shtar. Where is
the rabbi?
Anybody know?
The rabbi.
The rabbi.
Don't do that.
The real one. So the view of the Mordechai is that Mechila is Eina Tzricha Kinyan even in the Milva Bishtar. And the Raya is fascinating. Right? The Raya is from the case of Shmuel. We talked about it a little last week. I just want to mention it again quickly. What is the case of Shmuel? Hamocher shtachov lechavero, meaning you are a creditor, right? Somebody owes you money, and you decide you want to sell the right of collection. So on this $100 loan, you sell the right of collection, let's say for obviously less, let's say $70, right? For $70, I sell the right of collection to a third party. And I'm allowed to do that. Midrabbanan, midaraisa, it's a debate. So then the Gemara says, v'chazro umachol, then he, the creditor, turns around and he says, you know what? I waive my right to collect. That's chazro machol. And the din is, machol, that the third party who acquired the right of collection of this $100 loan for $70, right now he has no more right of collection. Now again, what will happen to the $70 that he lost? So that is a matter of garmi. That depends on doin dina de garmi, and it gets played out as a garmi issue. But in terms of the right to collect, let's say Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Reuven sold the right of collection from Shimon to Levi. Right now, Reuven is mochel Shimon. Levi can no longer collect from Shimon.
Can he protect himself contractually against that?
Well, that's what I was saying before. He doesn't really. I mean, Levi can collect damages from Reuven because Reuven basically just dealt him a blow. He took his right of collection and he made it worthless. But that has nothing to do with Shimon.
But he couldn't extinguish his right to be mochel.
Correct.
Vis-a-vis the.
I mean, Levi cannot extinguish the right of Reuven to be mochel vis-a-vis Shimon. Correct. That's the chiddush of Shmuel. That even though Reuven can sell the right of collection to Levi, nonetheless, it doesn't obviate him from being mochel to Shimon. Now again, that's why most of the Rishonim were of the opinion that Mechiras Shtaros, or Mechiras Chovos, whatever you want to call it, is Drabana. Because they did not feel that Minat Torah, those two things were compatible. They felt that if indeed Minat Torah, Reuven, can be Mochel to Shimon, it must be because he remains the real Malve. And if he remains the real Malve, then what did he really sell to Levi? Right? So they think the sale is only Drabana, and the Mechila is Doraisa. And that's why we get this anomaly. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid did not think that. They felt that it's legally conceivable that he sold the right of collection, and that is a Doraisa sale. But since he still retains the status of Malva, even though the right of collection has legally been sold, he can still be Mochel. That's according to Rabbeinu Tam. That's what we call the difference between a Shibud Aguf and a Shibud Nechasim. There are two aspects in every debt. There's the personal indebtedness, right? And that's something which is non-transferable. That's a personal connection. And then there's something else, and that's the dollars and cents aspect of it. He could sell the monetary part, but he can't sell the personal part. And the mechila depends on the person. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, what is the Maram proving? Maram is saying, you see from Shmuel that there is a mechira, there's a mechila, even in the case where there's a shtar, because that's the case. Mocher shtarcho v'lchavero, so it's a milva b'shtar, the chazro u'machol, and then he turns around and does a mechila, and it's machol. And, says the Rambam, don't tell me that there's a kinyan in that case, because it doesn't make sense, and he tries to prove that there's no kinyan. So that seems pretty firm, right? And then he adds, the kol shekein, if in this complicated case, where he doesn't even fully own it, or at least he sold off part of this, he can still be mochel without a kinyan, and it'll be effective, then certainly, in a straight-up case, where there aren't three parties, there are only two, Shimon owes money to Reuven, Reuven says, you know what, I'm going to be a charitable guy, I'm going to drop the right of collection, that certainly shouldn't require a kinyan, kol shekein. That is, even if there's a shtar, that is the view of Mordechai. So it's fascinating that Rabbeinu Yeshaya disagrees. So look here now in the...
If the law says parati, then the Malva can no longer say shtar could be only my boy.
Correct.
Even then shtar, he sold it to a lady.
Well, there's no issue of parati once there's a mechila.
No, aside from the mechila. Just okay. It's parati, and he doesn't have the shtar in his possession, so there's no...
Why doesn't he have shtar in his possession?
Because he sold the shtar to Levi.
So Levi has it.
Yeah, but not to Malva.
Okay, so but I mean, Levi's holding on to the shtar, that's his ticket to collection of a $100 loan. So all he has to do is produce it. That's fine.
But Malva has no connection with Levi. He has only connection
It doesn't matter. But either way, there's no shtar. Had this, had the piron taken place, it should be either be a shovar in the hands of the love, or the love should insist on getting the shtar back. Right? In this case, if he paid it back, he wouldn't be paying it back to Reuven anyway. He'd be paying it back to Levi, because Levi bought the right of collection. So the mud is shut. That wouldn't be a problem. Okay. Look at the tour, the first entry on the page. Tour Chol Shem Mishpat Hilchos Dayanim Simin Yud Beis. Kosov HaRav Rabbeinu Yeshaya. Okay. Ma Shetzrichim Kinyan. Right. In the case, Dafka B'midi D'Motzi L'Meheder Bey. Dafkin, something where he could recant. He could change his mind. Kagon. Etein Lach. He says, I'm going to give you something. I mean, I'm going to reach in my pocket. I'm going to empty my bank account. I'm going to... it's Mechusar Baisa, basically. So he can always say, you know, change my mind, not going to give it to you. Right? Oh, B'machalach. B'machalach, where's the changing of the mind? Because once he basically relinquishes his rights, it's gone. Right? It's off the books. The answer is, oh, B'machalach v'tafis shtara. He's holding on to a shtar. It sounds like if you're holding on to a shtar, then the mechila doesn't work. Aval b'machalach v'lo tafis shtar ein tzricha kinyan. The adon avi harash, says the tour. This is a tour talking. My revered father, the rush, lo chilek, he didn't make this distinction between milval pen milval b'shtar. What's the point? That according to Rabbi Yeshaya, against Ram Rutenberg and against the Rush is a Talmud of Ram Rutenberg, right? Milva Bishtar, according to Rabbi Yeshaya, is not subject to Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan. Right? And the question is why? So the truth is, he himself uses the expression, Bin Midi Dematzel Imheder Bey. What you might say is that it goes to one of the things we spoke of before, which is, if there is, if it's not all elegantly sewed up, it's still mechusa, something still needs to be done. You need to transfer a shtar, or maybe there's not smichustas because there's still a shtar in his hands. It's easy for me to say, I'm not going to collect, but I still have the shtar, right? Or maybe I need to get it back to you, or, and so on. So it could be one of the issues that we mentioned before. Number one, number two, or number three. Would explain why Milva Bishtar is considered an exception to the rule of Mechena Chila and Tzichikin. However, the Bach gives a different pshat. The Bach was very, was a huge Mechadish in general, and people don't realize it's a lost art to read the, you know, the Torah of the Beis Yosef and the Bach. You know, everybody only reads Mishnah Brura now. So, Mishnah Brura is an amazing book, but, you know, we shouldn't neglect, you know, the foundations. And my contention always is that you appreciate a great book like the Mishnah Brura much more when you're familiar with what really came before it. Because then you really can see what he's doing. You know, what he's taking, what he's changing, what he's... anyways, that's an irony. The point is that the Bach was a big, big Mechadish. And commenting on this, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, he says the following. Kosar of Rabbeinu Yeshaya, this is the second entry here. And we have the good work of our colleagues. So, starting from number five, right? So, Kosar of Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Pirish Machalach Matav Shtar, Svirla, Rabbeinu Yeshaya, Dalacha Kebe Shamai. Ah! The Shtar Ha'omi Ligvos Kegabu Yidami, Kedas Rova Poskim, the Choshev Atovea Muksak. The Dino Ke'etein Lach. So that's a great example of the Bach, you know, and his Koach HaChiddush. Right? Doesn't sound exactly at that. You could read it into the words of the tour. I'm not saying that it contradicts it. It wouldn't have been my first reading. what the Bach is saying is something very important. What's he quoting? He says, Rabbeinu Yeshaya thinks that the halacha is kebe shamai. What's be shamai? So be shamai is, there's a debate between Beis Hillel and be shamai. The details are not important for now. In Sugya in Yevamos, and it, you know, appears also in Ksuvis and Sota. You know, the house fell in on the guy, whatever. The main point is that according to be shamai, shtar ha'omid ligvos is kegavui dami. When you have a shtar, and therefore there's gebiyah, menachasim, mishubadim, the fact that there are nechasa mishubadim turn you into a muchsak. Meaning what? Let's take a typical case. Reuven lends $100 to Shimon. Shimon is obligated to repay him. Correct? The $100, as we know, milvul hotzon it, no? Is gone. Even if it's there, it's gone. Now, the second I hand over $100 to Shimon, even if it's newly minted, traceable, you know, bills, right, and it's still sitting on his table, or it's still sticking out of his pocket, or it's still in his hand, it doesn't matter. According to most Rishonim's reading of him, according to most Rishonim, milva lahotzonit, that means that a milva is not a ben. It's a value, right? It's a loan. So the fact that you're still holding on to the be'en that you were given is irrelevant. You fully own the be'en, and you owe the money. Milva lahotza nitna. Not everybody agrees, but that's the standard view of milva lahotza nitna. Why am I saying that? So the point is that now the lova, even if he has the money in his pocket, right, and it's identifiable, even if it's 5 seconds later, he now owes not those bills, not a be'en, he owes the malva a value, and he has to repay the loan, you know, in its time. So basically, if there's a din Torah between the malva and the lova, who's the tovei and who's the nitva? Who's the muksak and who's the motzi? The answer is, the lova is always the muksak. The lova is always the nitva. Right? Because he is the one who has the only ben in town. What he owes, or the contended, debated, you know, a debt that he has, right, is an abstract debt. So you are trying to be, if there's some controversy about it, the malva is trying to be motzi mamon, or motzi, you know, something specific from the lova. That's all things being equal. But what happens if there are nechasim mishubadim? Let's say that this loan, this matan mos, when I gave him $100, it's true the $100 melted into his hand, meaning it's no longer a ben, it's milvul hotzon nitna, but he now owes me $100. And that, if there is a landed property at the time, right, triggers a quasi, a right at least of collection, right, if he doesn't have what we call b'nei chari, right, to collect from the lien or mortgage property. Now the question is, to what extent does having that option establish me, meaning the malva, as a part owner or a potential owner in that property? And the more you see me as a partner, quasi-owner, you know, etc., then that disrupts the perspective of who is the toveh, who's the nitva, right, who's the machzik, and who's the motzi. Because in a certain sense, the malva, right, is a machzik, and he's also a nitva, because he has rights in these nechasim mishubadim as long as there's a debt that is owed to him, right? So the Beis Hillel Beis Shammai argue about a certain particular case, but what it comes down to is that Beis Shammai says, well, there's a shtar in that case. There's nechasim mishubadim, and Beis Shammai is taking a strong view that mishubadim are time of kinyanim. Shtar ha'omeid ligvos, when you have a milva b'shtar, and you could collect from the chasim mishubadim, hareu kegavui, it means that you already have rights in that property. Similar to, I mentioned I think last week, a debate, that's a debate among the Tanoim, Beis Shammai v'Hillel. There's a debate between Abaye and Rava, right, a parallel kind of a debate, whether Balchov l'mafreya hu gove, or Bikan l'haba hu gove. The more you think that it's l'mafreya hu gove, that means that we really see him as somebody who has rights in that property, even right now, even before, you know, the act of collection. That's why when he collects, you know, from this point, you know, retrospectively. As opposed to seeing Mishubadim as what I call, or as what other people call also, a kind of, you know, Arev type of halacha. You know, Nichsig Debar Inush Inun Arvayin Vachrayin Zelazet. Like a guarantor down the road. Oh, Now, these are two perspectives. I think I mentioned that the Ritva has a language in Kiddushin, Dafi Gimel, calling Shibudim a Chatzikin. It's a huge topic, and there are different types of Shibudim and so on. All I want to say is as follows. And then I'll take the question. The Bach says that Rabbi Yeshaya's view, that a Milva Bishtar is treated as a din of Mechila, right, Tzricha Kinyan. He says the reason is, the Halacha Kebeshil Shammai, the Shtar HaOmid Ligvos Kegavui Dami, meaning that the Shibudim are taken as something very concrete, and then that's the next line. Kedas Rov Poskim, we'll discuss that in a second. The Choshev HaToveya Muchsak. And therefore the Toveya, who you normally would think would be the Toveya, the Motzi, is considered to be a Muchsak here. So in a sense, when he says to the Lova, right, I drop my claim, I'm not going to collect the loan, right? In a way, that's the equivalent of etein lach, because what he's really saying is, I hereby transfer back to you, right, my quasi-kinyan in the nechasim mishubadim. Yeah, it seems like you had a question.
And let's say the item that's pledged causes damage.
The what?
The item...
Well, no, we're not talking about pledge yet. We'll get to pledges in a minute. But we're talking about nechasim mishubadim.
Okay, so
that's leaned real estate.
Let's say the nechasim mishubadim caused damage.
I'm not sure how real estate can cause damage, but...
There could be very simple. There could be a fire on it, there could be a pit. It can cause damage in any number of ways.
Right, but the real estate doesn't cause the damage. But either way, I think what you're asking is, I'm
so
not going to...
So is the lender responsible for the damage as sometimes the case is secular?
So, just like, I mean, this is not exactly the same, but I'll give you a parallel. You know, a ganav and a nignav, right? We've explained many times, a ganav has also kinyanim in the chepetz that he steals. But he's a junior partner, right? The main owner, title holder, is still the nignav. And therefore, when it comes to anything more basic, the same thing is true here. Even if you take the view of Abaya, that Bachov Mafreyahu Go, even if you take the view of Beis Shammai, Shtaro and Midligos, Kigavu Dami, still the primary owner is the Lova, or the Baal, in this case, the Lokeach. So it's, so you're never going to get into that, you know, to that extent. Probably you're not going to get to that extent. Okay, but it's a good question. Okay, now, just to make the following point. Number one, do we really paskin like Beis Shammai? So it's interesting, there's a tshuva of the Ramban also about this Beis Shammai issue. It's all over the place. The Ramban discusses it in the question, I believe, of Migu. The Ksos really discusses it, both in the Ksos HaChoshen and in Shev Shmaitza and the Avnei Milum. It's like a very big theme for the Ksos. He loves this idea that Shtar HaOmid Livgos is Kegavui. But unlike Rabbeinu Yeshaya and the tour, he doesn't think that we paskin like Beis Shammai. He thinks we paskin like Beis Hillel, but that even Beis Hillel agrees with some of the some dimensions of what Beis Shammai says. Even Beis Hillel has aspects of Shtar HaOmid Livgos Kegavui Dami, and he discusses it in terms of issues like, you know, according to the Rishon, the Balei Tosfos say, Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrina. Right? I don't want to get to Migu right now, but you know, some people say Migu Lahachsik Amrina, Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrina. So when there's a shtar, is it Migu Lahotzi or Migu Lahachsik? So that's why there's this tshuva of the Ramban who says, even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, but vis-a-vis Migu Lahotzi, Migu Lahachsik, right? Shtar HaOmid Ligvos is Kegavui Dami. And the Ksos, or Nishat Shvaitza, Avnei Miluim, same person, different books, he says it in things like Ein Hochem. Normally, Ein Hochem B'Momen Acharov Motzi Mechavero Olav Arai. But if there's a shtar, you know, then Shtar Omed Ligvos is Kegavui Dami. Anyways, so there's a whole literature about how exactly to say this. But what's fascinating is the Ksos. I forgot already. Is it here in Simeon Yud Beis or is it later on in like Simeon Ayin Hey? The Ksos says he likes this Bach explanation of Rabbeinu Yeshaya, and he says, oh. With this, we can answer the Raya from the Rambam Mordechai. Why? Because remember, the Mordechai quoted a proof that this is all wrong. He said, it cannot be that a milva bishtar is any different than a milva alpeh, and that the mechila doesn't require a kinyan, After all, what about the din of Shmuel? Right? The din of Shmuel is Mocher Shachov L'Chavero, right? Reuven sold the right of collection to Levi of the debt that Shimon owes Reuven. V'chazro U'machlo, and then he turned around and he was Mochel it, right? Mochel to Shimon, and the din is Mochel. So that's what the Mordechai was quoting that we read before. He said, oh, if even in a case where he sold it, he can still be Mochel without a kinyan, even though there's a shtar, it's a movement of the shtar, because he sold the shtar, then Kol Shekain, if it's a straight out Reuven, and there is no Levi, right? Oh. So the Kso says, wrong. Because what's the reason for Ben Yeshaya? What's the reason why Mechila requires a Kenyan in a Milva Bishtar? Because of the Nechasim, Mishubadim, which mean that he isn't really being Mochel at all. He's kind of transferring, or he needs to transfer his quasi-ownership back to the other party. But that's not true in the case of Shmuel. It's not Kol Shekain, it's the opposite. What happened there? Reuven sold his the Chasim Mishubadim to Levi. So if he wants to be Mochel, there's no outs, nothing that he has to return to Shimon. That's Xos's very sharp answer. Now there'll be other nafkamina. For example, what about Ksav Yad? If you have a Ksav Yad, which is not a, without Edom, in other words. Let's say you have Shimon, right? The Love writes Reuven a document and says, you know, this is to signify, well, this is what he signs it himself. This is to signify that I owe money to Reuven. That's called Kasa B'Ksav Yad, right? Like in Gittin, as we know. Kasa B'Ksav Yad Vein Olav Edom, right? But forget about Gittin for the moment. It's the last mission in Masechet Baba Basra. The mission says that Ksav Yad does not trigger Nechasa B'Shavad. There's a debate among the Rishonim whether or not it does trigger Shtar Chav Yadi, my boy. That's what happens if the Reuven lends money to Shimon, and instead of having a shtar, he has a Ksav Yad of Shimon, and then Shimon says, what are you talking about? I paid you. And Reuven says, what do you mean you paid me? Ksav Yadcha Biyadi, my boy. Right? So that's a debate among the Rishon. Rashi, the Rajbam, the Bali Tosis, the Tosis Rin, the Malamar, they all say that part is the same as shtar, because they see it as a kind of pure umda. And they say, shtar chabiyad, my boy, ksav yad chabiyad. Who's going to pay back a debt and leave a damaging evidence out there? Right? The Ramban, the Rif, the Rambam, etc., they disagree. Different explanations, it's not for now. But their view was that there's no shtar chabiyad, my boy, or ksav yad chabiyad, my boy, either. Two are connected. So basically what I'm trying to say is the Piskei Tshuva in Siman Yud Beis, Kol Shemishpat, says according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, who thinks there's a difference between Milva Bishtar and Milva Alpeh with regard to whether Mechila does or doesn't require a Kenyan, what's going to be the din of Ksav Yad? Milva Sheyesh Bo Ksav Yad. Or what's going to be the din of Milva where there are no Chum Nechasim Shabbatim? Even if it's a milva b'shtar, right? But there's no nechasim b'shabadim. Let's say there aren't any. Okay? The guy had no real estate, zero new real estate. Shimon had zero real estate at the time of the transaction. It can happen, right? So you have a shtar, but there's no nechasim b'shabadim. So according to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, according to the Baf's understanding of Rabbeinu Yeshaya, it's not going to work for ksav yad, it's not going to work for a shtar when there are no nechasim b'shabadim. Right, but if you hold that it's that the shtar itself, you know, is like a remnant that, you know, it interferes with the elegant, mopping up of all the, all the loose ends and so on, it still may be an issue, a problem. Okay, anyway, so that is one topic. That's one issue. The second issue, closely connected, is the issue of mashkon. Now you can imagine that there's going to be a parallel here in both senses. Number one, again, mashkon is a loose end. What's a mashkon? A pawn, right? Reuven lends $100 to Shimon. he takes as a surety, you know, some object, some valuable object of Shimon as a security, right? Now, Sadhu wants to drop the right to collect, but he has a mashkon in his possession. Eventually, that mashkon has to return to the load then. Is that going to be an impediment to saying Mechila Ein Sri Chakin? So once again, the Mordechai, we saw it last week, I just want to go one more time, just very quickly. So the Mordechai says, Tafresh Pei Aleph, Nishal, Rebbeinu Meir, Mechila Sri Chakin, Yenechad Yesh Lemokel, Mashgon Biyado, Veheshev Nirali Dover Pashut, the Lo Boi Kinyan, doesn't make a difference. Venei, the Balchov, Konamashkin, Liskayv, Kishomer Sakar, Mikomokom Engufa Konila Lemalve, Lumahani Mechila, Fagab, the Malve Mashik, Mashkon Kidomin and Parakamet Kedushin Dilav Evanivri Gufakani Mahani Kiyamar Bapi Trey Zil Hachanami Kimachal Leamalva Mesh Hamashkon Lamare Kalechidisa Dideyave Shalom, right? Mayor Brabaruch. What's he saying? The Gemara says in Kedushin, it's one of the rise of the Bali Tosis, that if you turn to an Evanivri and you say Sayonara, right? Zil Apik, go. You're no longer my, I'm dropping my right of ownership. That's not going to work. But the Gemara says, the reason it doesn't work is because Evid Ivri Gufo Conri. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's one of the proofs of the Bali Tosis. But if it hadn't been for Evid Ivri Gufo Conri, if it was more of a financial relationship, then the Chila apparently would work even without anything else. So the Maram Rutenberg invokes that and says, listen, we have two paradigms. If Evid Ivri Gufa Konui, then Mechila doesn't work. Right? And if it's a regular Kinyan, then it does work. So what's Milva Sheish Lomashkin? So the Maram Rutenberg assumes that it is the equivalent of Evid Ivri Ein Gufo Konui. And to sweeten the explanation, he adds, you'll ask me, a mashkin is Konim and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said that Balchov has a kinyan, the Malveh has a kinyan in the mashkin when it's in his Rishos. He might be able to Makadesh with it. There's some issue with regard to Shemitas Ksafim and other things. He isn't just holding it. He has rights in that mashkon, right? If he has rights in the mashkon, so maybe it isn't subject to Mechila, because Mechila is about, as we explain, especially according to reasoning number 4, Mechila is about waiving a right. Anytime you have to transfer title or make title revert even, you know, that might be more than just dropping a prerogative, right? So that's a Tosa. That's what the Ram Rutenberg says. You should know that even though Balchov is Kona Mashkon, don't get too excited. That's a very minimal halacha. Really, really, it's only, for example, reflected by an onus, by a Chiyuve Achrayus level of Shomer Sacha. But there are Rishonim, you should know, who hold that Balchov Kona Mashkon Midrabi Yitzchak has the level of a Shoel, which means that he has a much stronger grasp on that Mashkon. So what'll they hold about Mechila in a Milva Sheish LaMashkon, right? So again, just the opposite perspective of the Maram Rutenberg we find in the Bala Itur and in the Ritva. And their discussion is also just very illuminating. So look at the Bala Itur, Osmem, we started before.
Two separate issues. I mean, Kol Mashkon had nothing to do with the essential fact that he lent him money. The Mashkon is just a secondary thing, collateral.
Well, that's a question. Or is the Mashkon kind of the embodiment of the Chov? The Mashkon may serve a function that is similar, you know, to Nechasim and Shabbat. Right? I mean, there's a famous sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel says in the Gemara in Shmuel that, you know, avad, you know, mana avad kata damagla, meaning, let's say you have a, let's say there's no correspondence between the mashkon and the amount. You know, so it makes logical sense, and this is how we paskin, that we do operate, you know, with, you know, with proportionately. But Shmuel is of the opinion that no, not true. Whatever the mashkon, you know, is, even if the mashkon is worth less, if you lose the mashkon, you lose the money. Right? How could that be? But in general, there seems to be a huge debate, another debate. The Ramban in the Sugya in the end of the sixth parak of Shavuos, which is where a lot of the mashkon material is, seems to be suggesting, against other Rishonim, that when there's a mashkon or a suffek about a case where there's a mashkon, that's eni odea im ischayavti, not eni odea im praticha. Meaning that as long as the malva is holding on to a mashkon, it isn't just some sort of an extraneous shibud, but it's like, you know, it's like the embodiment of the chov itself. Like there is no chov. So it's that this is part of the issue. Anyways, if you look at the Sefer Itur, yeah.
Would it be clear according to Rabbi Shaya that since he has the mashkon, he could change his mind?
If that's really what this is about. According to the box reading of Rabbi Yeshaya, yeah, I hear that. According to the way the Torah quotes it. Yeah. I hear that. Yeah, because there's certainly a remnant. There's certainly a remnant issue.
Yeah,
100%. So look at the Yitron. The Yitron says, "Mechil shen pshar ein tzricha kinyan lo mitzvah mishicha, ve'afilu atamedi lo tzarech lo ibrisadi lo shakri." And then he adds, "Ula shufra d'shtara kosvi kinyan." You know, we just add, throw in kinyan, but we don't need it. "Avo mechil shidark pshar tzricha kinyan, afilu mishnayim." Fine. And he adds, "U'mechil shen tzricha kinyan, dafke lo mechil de leisle mashko." Only when there's a case where there's no mashkon. Avalisle mashkon mechila boy kinyan. And what's fascinating is that he brings a raya from the exact same Gemara that the Imran Wurttemberg did for the exact opposite conclusion. Keep going. Midam rinan, midgar sinan bekidushin, gabi evidivri, shtar lavali, velema le'api tre zil, go. Amarava zo samaris, evidivri gufakani. Arash machal garoni, garuna machal, shmamina. The ilav gufo kanui, right? Michilta gredasa, he, right? If the eved wasn't gufo kanui, then you could be mochel him, right? The chiyomar ba'api treizil, sagi. Ablecha de gufo kanui, and then he adds very surreptitiously, or not really, but who gufo mashkon, right? Evidently, gufo kanui means who gufo mashkon. Right? That's how you would say every gufo kani, that who gufo mashkon? Not if you think that a mashkon is a kind of an extraneous, you know, backup safeguard. Not if you hold like Ron Burdenberg, right? But that's how he's interpolated it in there. Avleicha de gufo kanui, who gufo mashkon? The evidivri, instead of, the evidivri became, the paradigm became the mashkon instead of the evidivri. Right, so evidivri gufa kanui is midin mashkon, as opposed to Marm Rutenberger saying mashkon. It's like ein evidivri gufa kanui. Right, aval heichad the gufa kanui who gufa mashkon velo mahani mechila. Can I mean mechila lo mahani heichadika mashkon? So if you look at the next piece, the Ritva in Kiddushin. So the Ritva has an interesting discussion. We'll read it very quickly. Again, the same Gemara. El shtar shechur lamali. Star lemele shtara lemele bapi trezil amaraba zosomeres avidivri gufa kanui barav shemachal grono ein grono machal, end quote. So the Ritva analyzes this a little bit and says pirush v'kashilon hey chaminon avidivri gufa kanui. What do you mean that avidivri is gufo kanui? That implies that the adon really holds sway over this eved, right? And that the eved, meaning even the Jewish eved, is lacking a measure, a significant measure of independence, right? The isle yad l'chol davar. That's not so easy because an eved ivri is a Jew, and he has a yad, meaning he has certain independent kinyanim. The ein yado ki yad rabo lo legabe mitzia. Like if he finds a mitzia, even though he's in the employ of the Adon, this is in contrast to an Eved Kanani, as we'll see in a moment, right? But the Eved Ivri does have a measure of independence. Tis Metzia, the Eruv, Upidjan Meiser, the Bekula Mizakal Yadov, Velo, Shum Bidi Achrini. So if it's true that he has his own Yad, why do you say that he's Eved Ivri Gufo Konu? He's like a glorified Poel. He's a Poel without the right to quit. Or with some other tweakings of Poeldom. Right? But he's not an Eved Ivri Gufo Konu. He's not like an Eved Kanani. He's more like a Poel. Mikel Meimar, the Ilu Eved Kanani, Yesh L'Rav. So the Bar Ritva's thinking is, let's go back and figure out what it means to say Gufo Konu. It sounds like we're invoking something that exists in Eved Kanani. So let's look for a second and think, you know, what is it about Eved Kanani, which is Gufo Konui? This is the reasoning of the Ritva, right? Not saying it in so many words. So he says, Ikal Meimar, the Ilu Eved Kanani, right? In the paradigm of Eved Kanani, Yesh L'Rav Bo Shnei Kinyanim. There are two aspects to the ownership. One is Kinyan Maisa Yadav, and the other is Kinyan Iser Shabo, Sha'asar Bebas Yisrael. In the case of Eved Kanani, there are two kinyanim, a monetary and a Yoredea type kinyan, an Iser type kinyan. The Iser one is what needs the matir of a shtar. That's why you can't say zil gemar. You can't just terminate the Eved Kanani's employment. He's not going to be, you know, no longer, he's not going to remove the Shem Eved Kanani if you just remove the Kenyan Mamon, because he has a new legal status as an Eved Kanani, which makes him Asur Bavas Yisrael. Right? Ulefikach, Hamafkir Avdo, Afa Pishiyata Lecherus, Upaka Maisa Yadav, right? Hefker works for an Eved Kanani on the money side, but we paskind, we'll see in a moment the other view, Shmuel, that Tzarech, get shechror. But he does require a get. I mean, a shtar shechror.
What does it mean, this is about a Bas Yisrael, a Kanani, an Eved Kanani?
Yeah, because the assumption is, I don't want to get into that right now, that as an Eved Kanani, he's no longer a full non-Jew. And that, it isn't B'Torah's Goy, it's B'Torah's Eved Kanani. That's the assumption that the Ritva is making.
So he can marry Bas Yisrael?
No, he can't because of the Kinyan Iser. He can't because of the Shem Eved Kanani, not because of the Shem Goy. This is a big issue in Eved Kanani in general. Namely, is it the Tzad Goyus Shaboy Shalom Paka Adayin? Or is it, no, it's a din of Shem Eved Kanani. Reb Chaim has a piece about this, if you're interested, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. He has a very interesting discussion of this, and I think you could tweak it even more. But whatever. The Chein Eved Kanani, Hanimka Lagoy, Kishalosav Kosav Olav Ono, now he's going back to Eved Ivri, right? He says, same idea applies in Eved Ivri, albeit different details. Right? Amar Rabba, the Eved Ivri Nami, Ha'ika Tzad Kinyan Aguf, the Kinyan Isa Shabao, the Eved Mutter Meshivcha Knanis. There the Gufa Konu in the Kinyan Isa is a different expression. Namely, normally you can't give a Jew a Shivcha Knanis. What that proves is that an Eved Ivri isn't just a glorified, you know, a tweaked worker, but that there's a shame Eved Ivri, and it's an Iser status. According to the Ritva, that's the pshat, not like the Mar Brudenberg, that's the pshat in Eved Ivri Gufa Konui. Not like the Iter either, who said Eved Ivri Gufa Konui means he's like a mashkel, right? It's in the monetary part. It's here, it's because of the shame Iser. Then he says, V'pnei kinyan zeh, v'din Iser zeh, v'rami alei, v'ode Eved, chashuv kinyan aguf, v'atzrich get. So what we mean when we say that Mechila doesn't work, he's also Mechadish something here, is we mean it doesn't work for the Kinyan Isa. Will it work for the Kinyan Mamon? Now, would that be true according to the Iter? I don't think so. Would it be true according to the Maram Rutenberg? Perhaps not. The Ritva, who says that Eved Ivri Gufa Konui refers to the Kinyan Iser, and he assumes that the Kinyan Iser is separable from the Kinyan Mamon, thinks that Mechila B'li Kinyan would work, right, for the kinyan mamon of an eved ivri, and possibly we'll see in a moment about an eved kanan, right? But according to the Ram Rutenberg, even according to the Iter, I think it's not correct. Even according to the Ritva himself, you could have said that once there is a kinyan iser, right, that fuses with the kinyan mamon; they're not totally separable. Anyways, then he goes on to say, then it becomes more relevant even to us. A fascinating thing. Big Kiddush. He says, an Eved Ivri, we just said, if you do Mechila on an Eved Ivri, it'll work for the Dinei Mamonos part. But, says the Ritva, again, I don't think everybody will agree with that. But that's a Ritva's Kiddush. However, says the Ritva, even I think if you do Mechila for an Eved Knani, it won't work. Why? Because an Eved Ivri has a Yad. And therefore, even Mechila works for him. Even if you say, and this is what the Chiddush, he says Mechila is like a Matana. Hefker, on the other hand, is like Siluk. Meaning a Matana means I am Makne to him. So you can't be Mochel to an Eved Kanani because he doesn't have a Yad. But you could be mochel to an Eved Ivri because he does have a yad. But you can be mafkir an Eved Kanani because you're not mafkir to him, you're mafkir him, and that's a siluk and he's kona miyado. What emerges is the Ritva thinks that mechila is not siluk, mechila is matana, siluk l'chud, hefkir l'chud in other words, and matana l'chud, and nafkamina between Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri. Very important Ritva.
So when he's mafkir Eved
Kanani,
is at that point then is on himself.
Yes, correct. That's exactly. But as long as he needs to it's not bidin yad. It's right, exactly. So then he goes on to say, listen to this. Shmuel damar b'masechet gittin. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says mafker Eved Kanani yetsa l'cheres ve'ein tzarich yet shechar. Right? If he said to an Eved Ivri, Hefker Adif Mi Mechila, the Hefker who Inyan Silak Rishuso, repeating the same idea, Uzchuso Lagamri, Upaka Beafilu Kinyan Isa, Shazochebo Eved Atzmo, Lagamri, Kilu Yatza Yde Keset. Aba Mechila Shi, Matana, he repeats it again, Lo Shaycha Ela Bekinyan, Maisa Yadav. Meaning, according to Shmuel, who says that Eved Kanani, the Hefker, doesn't need to get shifrur, because siluk works even for the kinyan iser. So siluk would work in Eved Ivri for the kinyan iser too. That's the Ritva's Kiddush, right? But mechila is only going to work for the kinyan mamon. There's a difference between hefker and mechila, even for Eved Ivri, according to Shmuel. Okay. Then he adds. The Ada Borchan Shamina, just in terms of our issue, Nehacha the Mechila in Tzricha Kinyan, Miu Kishiyesh Ba Kinyan Aguv, Kemil Valamash, Kemal Valamashkan, Lo Sagilei Be Mechila, Kedekasev Nelael. Meaning he sides with the Al Ha'itor. But he's not told that in Eved Ivri. Sounds like he thinks Eved Ivri Gufa Kone means Kinyan Isur. You don't have that in a Mil Valamashkan. Right? On the other hand, whenever you don't have a kinyan aguf at all, that's mechila in tzricha kinyan. Whenever you have a kinyan aguf, right? Or a kinyan, a strong kinyan, then maybe mechila tzricha kinyan, but mechila would work. Or maybe there'd be a difference between mechila and hefker. Now this idea is mechila a matana, a hakna too, or a kind of hefker or siluk, etc., is something that also comes up in the Machne Ephraim. So the next Maramokom here is the Machne Ephraim, Hilchos Chiya, the Hefker, Simyud Aleph. He talks about the following case. let's say a person is mocha l'chaveiro, and the chaveiro doesn't want anything to do with it. Right? I don't want favors from you, or he's a proud man, he doesn't want favors from anyone, he wants to pay his debts back, right? Can you force mechila on someone? So Machan Ephraim says, it depends. If mechila is a kind of a kinyan, then maybe not. Because it takes two to accomplish a kinyan. You have to machne two. If he's not a willing recipient, right, then he's not kone in this hakna of matana. You can't force a matana on someone, right? Zalkan ladim shalom b'fana, but if he doesn't want it, you can't force him. On the other hand, if we say that mechila is siluk, or it isn't a hakna'a at least, it's the waiving of a requirement, kind of like a siluk, that's a one side, that's a unilateral, very probably a unilateral kind of a transaction. So that's what he discusses. Hamocha l'chaver ma'shechai ba'alova l'rotza v'mechilaso mahudino. This is the Machan Ephraim time. What's it did if he doesn't want it? Ve'ra'isi shedavzav ha'machokas shanui. He has this whole analysis of Tosis. The l'fi ma'shechaz of a Tosis parakam. And the Kiddushin, skip down three lines, doesn't matter. You know, it's the way he interprets it. Nira desfir le demechila lo hava akna la siluk. B'alma, k'moshechaz of Rashi b'tshuva. The l'fi zeh yira, if it's siluk, d'zeh shemocha l'chaver ma'shechaiv lo me'ish shiyatza mitchilas piv nistalek shibudo. As soon as the words come out, boom, it's done, because it's siluk, it's a unilateral process. If he doesn't want it. Right, on Zos Omer 7 Ibri Gufakani, the Mechila, have a hakna, im kain, kol shalarotza lova Mechila salozacha, kim shalarotza lozakos. Right? Then he has another suffek. Miu adayni kalameimar dekol kai gavna nava knada mimela afilibal korcha shalova mahani. Maybe the rule that you can't force somebody to acquire something is only true when it's an active hakna. But when you are relinquishing a prerogative, in addition, even if it is a hakna, it's a kind of passive hakna. Once you say it's a passive hakna, is it any different from saying it isn't a hakna and it's just a waving of a right? Maybe. It's a subtle difference. So he's wondering whether or not you can impose bal karcha, a subtle or a sheval tasa kind of kinyan on the other party. That's one, number one. And then he adds, l'fi svar satosu shekasavti, Tosus think that siluk, nira democha l'chaver ma'shechai b'betok de'dibur kozar lo mahani, demez shiyatsu mipiva mechila zocha b'chaver. Another napkamina. Let's say you do mechila and you're chozer b'otok de'dibur. So if mechila is a kinyan, you have the right to be chozer tokei dibur, because it isn't unilateral, and it's not, you know, waiting to happen. All you have to do is kind of, you know, acknowledge that it's done, right? But if you take the view it's a kind of hakna, there's always a chazara period for hakna, tokei dibur. So the point is that there are numerous nafkamina regarding this question of mechila, the nature of mechila, how its connection to siluk, its connection to hefker, to matana, to kinyan iser, and so on. And some of the issues like mashkon and shtar and ksavyad and tokei dibur and bal korcha, these are some of the issues that really highlight the different perspectives. Okay, now I want to talk very quickly about lo saguru mipnei ish. So in the Gemara here, and Vavamud Beis, I'm sorry, Vavamud Beis, yeah. For a minute, just to remind ourselves. The Gemara says the following. Rab Shimon Menasya Omer, towards the bottom of the page, about two-thirds of the way down, writes, Shnayim Shavol Lefanecha Ledin, if two people come to court, right? If you haven't yet heard any of the tainas of the Bali Dinim, or you've heard them, right, but you have yet to hear enough that you know what direction this is going. So the din is atarashay lo malahen tsu ubitsu. You can say to them, you know what, change to a pshara. Misha tishma devrayim. Once you hear, right, where it's going, then you cannot say, you cannot offer pshara once you know what the, where, you know, direction of the din. Belifnei hitgalaya hariv netosh. Kodesh nesgal hariv atayachol lenacho. Mishas galariv atayachol lenacho. So this leads into a parallel. The Gemara says, Reish Lakash Amar, Shneim Shebol Adin, Echad Rach, Echad Kasha. If you have two Bali Dinim, one is a tough guy, and the other one is an intimidating fellow. I'm sorry, one is a reasonable man, and the other one is an intimidating fellow. Ad Shelo Tishma Debrei Miatar Rasha, O Mishtishma Debrei Miatar Dela, Echad Adin Dota, Atar Rasha, Iloma Lahem, Einani Nizkak Lahem. Right? Until you either hear anything, or you know the direction, you have the right to back out of this Din Torah, you the Dayan, and you can say, Shemin Eschayiv Chazak V'nimsa Chazak Road Folk, because I don't want this intimidating fellow, you know, annoying me. We'll see what that means in a moment. Misha Tishma Devrayim, Atayah Delech, and I didn't know, once you know where it's going, Yatayah Chalom Alehen, Eini Nizkak Lachen. Then you can no longer turn around and say to them, I want out. Shenamar Lo Toguru Mipnei Ish. Right? You're not allowed to, act on your fear for men. Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcho, remember nine the Talmud Shiyoshev Fnei Rabo, Viroz Chus Ani B'Chovel Ashir, right? He's sitting in the court, and he realizes he has an insight which is beneficial to the weaker, the poorer, the politically unconnected, fellow. Minayin Shelo Yishtok, that he shouldn't be silent. Shenamar lo toguru mipnei ish. Rav Chanina amar lo tachnis dvarecha mipnei ish. Don't be stifled because of your concern for other human beings. Okay. Right? V'yu edim yodim, the witnesses should know, es mihen mi'idim, v'lifnei mihen mi'idin, right? Who and in front of whom, u'miyasa li par mehem, shenamar v'amdu, shenam nashem asher lehem v'lifnei Hashem, v'yu adayanim yodim es mihen, donim u'miyasa li par mehem, shenamar, Elohim, Elohim, Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, B'chem B'yoshofat, Omer, V'yom L'shoftim, Ruma, Atem Osim, Kilol Adam Tishpotu, Kim La'ashem. Shema Yomer Adayon, Mali B'tzar, Hazeh. Like, what do I need all this headache for? Talmud Lomar, Imchem, Kidvar, B'dvar Mishpat. El Adayon, Elamash, Einav, Ros. That's the Gemara. So this din, the first din especially, of Lo Sagru Mipnei Ish, Echad Rach, Echad Kasha, what exactly is that? And I think I have two questions. The bigger question is this a special din in Dayanim and Din? Or is this an application in Dayanim and Din? Maybe a routine one, maybe one which is a little more sensitive and therefore more acute, but essentially an application of a broader halacha. In other words, where, Kavod Hashem, is involved, so you have to, be very unequivocal of, giving priority to the Rebbe Shalom's Kavod over that of man or human considerations, of profit, considerations of fear, right, considerations of being annoyed, right? So obviously that particularly expresses itself in a din Torah situation, and a shofet, who is perceived as having a certain duty that certainly heightens his Elokim, to use our Hagdama idea, a profile, as an Elokim Elohim, and therefore for him maybe there are even differences in how we apply Lo Sagru Mipnei Ish, but maybe, let's say, it's a general halacha. Rashi in other places, Rabbeinu Yonah, and Shari Tshuva seem to apply Lo Sagru Mipnei Ish, Chizkuni, Perish Al HaTorah, beyond the context. In the Torah itself, in Dvarim, it appears in the context of a shofet. But maybe that's just a very good example, or a very acute example with our Nafkamina. Or no, is it really a din in shofet itself? Maybe the standards in shofet aren't just an application. That's the din of Lo Sagru Mipnei Ish, special halacha in din and da. That's question number one. Question number two, closely related to it, how far does this go? So the Bach in particular noted that there's a Machlokas Rashi. I mean, Bach was the first one to notice Machlokas Rashi in Tosfos, but he certainly amplified it. If you look at Rashi on the Sugya, Rashi here says, what is the problem that we're concerned about? Rashi seems to say, Kosheh, Bal Mariva Matriach Dayanim. And then the next one. Hochi Arsin, Shemi Yischayev Chazak, the Nimsa Rodfo, Rodef Hasadayan, Lahafech Hasadin. So if you're, it's not so obvious to me, but if you're Medayik, and the Bach certainly was, Rashi seems to be suggesting that the problem is the extent to which there might be a miscarriage of justice. In other words, the strong man here, the intimidating Baldin, right, who the aggressive Baldin, is not going to rest until he gets his, you know, the din overturned. He's going to call in favors, it's going to be very annoying, and it might end up with a zilusa de Medina. In other words, with an improper psak. That seems to be the stakes, according to Rashi. Whereas if you look at Tosas here says, Vinimsa Chazak Rodfo, second last Tosas on the page, Tosas says, Pirish Ledayan, he's going to persecute the Dayan, Kidemuchach Basar Haki, Hadanakad Echad Rach, Shimoy Shneim Chazakim, Hasheni Oyim Messayo. If they're both, hitmen for mafia, so, you know, he antagonized one, but he got the protection, you know, of the other one. So it's not so terrible. Okay. So Rashi seems to be concerned with annoyance, with Zilusa de Bedina, with that. And Tosa seems to be concerned with the intimidation, right, the safety of the Dayan himself. So this is what the Bach amplified. Bach says,
Rashi says the same thing. What if it's a dying mafik as that did?
Yeah.
To intimidation, to threats.
It sounds like the greatest concern here is that there'll be a miscarriage of justice. Whereas in Tosis, it sounds like he's worried that he's going to get persecuted, he's going to lose, he's going to be threatened. That's how the Bach certainly understood it. So look at the Bach here. Dayan Shavol Lefanav Shnei Bali Dinim Echad Rach Bechule. This is on page 2, and we're up to, what are we doing here? Page 2, number 14, right? Dayan Shavol Lefanav Shnei Bali Dinim Echad Rach Memra Derei Shlokit Parakam Edis Sanhedrin Hachin Garsinon Shema Nischayev Chazak Benitza Chazak Rodfo Pirush Rashi Kosher Bal Mriva Umatriach Dayanim. He's annoying the Dayanim. Rodfo means Rode Visadin, Lahafe Chesadin, Ad Kamishon, Klomar. This is the Bach emphasizing it. The Ika Zelusa Ladaya. The problem is one of Zelusa. Right? It's Kavod, if they have to overturn the Din, Mashma, Aval Shneim Chazakim, if both of them were strong men, Afila Kodim Shiishmas Divrayim. Even though it's early in the game, since they're balanced, right, he cannot back out. Why? So the next piece is a mistake. Skip that. The one after it. The Chen Kosova Rambam, he thinks that the Rambam holds like the Bali Tosas. Tosas, as we point out, seems to say that the fear is not that he'll cause a miscarriage of justice or annoy them by the Dayanim, but that he will intimidate the Dayanim and that their safety will be jeopardized. So that also seems like the Pshat in the Rambam, in Perikop Beis of Sanhedrin, says the Bach, listen to this. The Chen Kosov Ramam, Miu Mashma Bidvarav, Shekosov Shaleomar Ish Ploni Russia Hu, Shema Yaro Gesbini, Shema Yadli Gesgedishi, Shema Yikatsets Nitiosai. Wait, they. Right? This all comes from the Sifrei that the Rambam is quoting. The Dafka Bibuksak Shehu Russia. The Bach says, the Ramam Shita only applies to somebody who has a track record as a Russia. Not just that he speaks in threatening terms. All right, that's a chiddush. Let's keep going. Umashma, look at the next bach. The Pirush Rashi, the Lo Mairi Ba'adam Rasha. According to Rashi, we're talking about annoying people, not necessarily evil people. right? Relentless people, not intimidating people. So listen to this. Pshita de Babal Din Rasha Yochal Yistalek. Af L'Achar Sheyodea Hechadin Note Einuch Adav Shom V'Tnei Pikuach Nefesh V'Safek Sakano Ezek Mimamon. Wow. I mean, according to Rashi, Lu Yitzur was the Tosfos people, right, intimidators who are really threatening you, then there would be no din of Lo Sagur Mipnei Ish. You could back out, you know, whenever you want. Which, of course, this begs the question, and so the Bali Tosfos think that Lo Sagur Mipnei Ish is even B'makom Sakana, right? So, let's see that. Let's look at the next page for a minute. Just give me another minute or two to finish up. Since we don't have Shem next week, so. Then he quotes this is a quotation. Look at the last, before we do that, look at the last entry on the page, line 38, 37, 38. The Shulchan Aruch, this is a quotation of the Ramah. The Ramah quotes this Mari Vile. The Yesh Mishakasav, Dimikomokom Noagin Akshav, Shalom Limchos Ba'ovri Aveira, Mishim Shiesh Sakona Badavar, Shalom Sereno Lanasin. Ooh. What was going on, you know, in the time of the Rama, or the time of the Marivai? Namely, it doesn't pay to start, Lo Sagur Mipneish, the inability to back out, in other words, maybe it doesn't apply to the ruffians of our time. So now go back to the top of the page. When the Bach quotes this, he says, Kos of Marivai, right, Denoge Machsha Shalom Limchos Bob Rabeir, Shem Shesh Sakana Bedavar Shalim Sakana Machos, Vikal Itzmoa. The Besifrei Mefurash, Tafilu Ika Chashash Hariga, like the Rambam was quoting. The Hef said, Kol Mamona Chayiv Lizdake, Kol Rambam Mefurash, Afilu Mukhsak L'Rasha, V'leikah, the member of the Sefer Lo Kepirish Rashi, who thought that the whole thing was just an annoyance. Dabit Shivasa Lo Hiska Pirish Rashi, Elehevi Rai Medom Perakasar Yuchsin Ubad God L'Sakano Perusha. The Efshar, the Marivayel Mechale, because it's so interesting, the Hach de Sefrei, Eina Limitin Shved Adam L'Chaveiro. Hasam Hu de Chayiv Lishpot Betzedek, Afilu ike chashasha de safik nefashos, ba'akoi lo saguru. Right? When it's a ben adam lechadero case, then even if your life is in jeopardy as a judge, you have the obligation of lo saguru. Over averish, ben adam lamakom, the chayav anakin lo, because it's a din of tochacha, not a din of hatzalas mamon. Right? Hocheach tochiach, yesh lo hakel, kivin dike sakana de gilu lefan do lefanenu, shlo yu mekablim. That's one suggestion. Inami, I'm skipping two lines. This is also fascinating. It's a little window into history also. From a fellow Jew, ruffian. Right? Aval kishyesh chashas sakonet mimalchus, al yidei mesirus, debori azeka, keto mechmar, kvar lamadnu v'chai bahem v'lo shiyamos bahem. So two chilukim to explain the shita of the Marivayel, even according to Bali Tosas and the Rambam, that either a difference between Rambam Lamokam and Rambam Mechavera, or Mesiris Lamalchus, as opposed to a Rasha Yisrael. Then he says, Kosa Rambam, Vimayi Mamunul Rab, Rambam says that if you're Mamunul Rabim, you're Chayiv Lizakek, even you can't get out of the, even in an earlier situation, even if it's, even if Einatayodeh Lehekan Adin Noteh. If you're mumchal rabim, you can't back out of a case. So he explains, v'nirin etam, the kibin mitzvah sase lemanos shoftim, bein baretz, bein b'chutz laretz, ima yirashay ha-mamuna liyal shofet l'rabim, listalik min adin, even for good reasons, even for chashash safek nefashos. If the dayan mumchal rabim could back out, heichod echod kosho, shneim koshim, imkei lo yonem tsa mishiz dakek, via kol dalam gabar, v'hoi ha-olam charev, kibin shein kandin. In other words, as an individual, you have a certain obligation, but it's ad kan. But as a member, as a shliach of the tzibor, for whom the whole tzibor and the whole legal system depends, there's no heter at all. Mashma af lepirish Rashi, right? Even Rashi, who seems to say that safek that sakana, you know, would always be a reason to back out. B'memuna l'rabim moda d'chayv l'izdakeg. Afilo hechadika chashasha d'safik nefashos. Imlo hechadika chashasha d'mesiros k'dikos of marivayel. Okay, so one final point, and that is, what is the significance of l'hechan adin dote? Right? So the Sma here says, it's the next piece, v'teid l'hechan adin dote, sh'nem lo taguru, ha'mikem mishpat l'alokim, ikar ha'mishpat u'shas gmar din. So the Sma thinks that l'hechan adin dote is a form, it's like a pre-gmar din, gmar din. That's why once you know where it's going, it's too late for pshara, and it's too late to back out because it triggers the din of lo saguru mipnei ish. But it's fascinating, the Taz disagrees. If you look at the Taz, he quotes the Sma. Betursif Aleph, Nemel Saguru, Sma Sikot and Base, he quotes the Sma. And then he says, next line, V'yef Shalom Achein. And he gives several reasons. What's his pshat? So go down five lines, Al Korchanira, the Ikar Limun Agamar, the Lashayach Loma, Lo Saguru, Lemisha Udaya. Mishim the Kozman, Shaloshama, Ola Yada, Hechen Adin Note, Ein Shame Dayan, a love. And then the last line. But Bumum Khalarabim, the Kfar Yeshal of Shame Dayan, Cholo Taguro Bechol Gamni. The Taz says the following. The category of Hekan Adin Nota is not a din in Gemar Din. It's a din in the Shame Dayan. I mean, the Shame Dayan isn't the fact that you're wearing the robes. It's not the fact that you got the diploma, right? And so on. And that you're protected from, you know, Losakala. The Shame Dayan in a particular Din Torah also, according to the Chiddush of the Taz, depends on Atayodea, your involvement in the case. Le'echan Adin Nota. But if you're a Mumchal Rabim, you always have a Shame Dayan. That's why you can never back out. So I think, and this I'll leave you, that there might be another way to explain this. And that is, I mentioned a few times in the year, the Rav's idea that there's a difference between Dinim Amunis and Dinim Nefashos. Dinim Amunis is a more hypothetical, abstract case, where at least the Masa Matan is theoretical, and it's only when you get to the actual Gmar Din that it becomes very specific to the case at hand. And even then, it's an application of the law. Whereas a din in Nefashos is always very personal. It's always, even the Masa Matan part of it is connected to the specific case in hand. So I think that maybe the idea is that Lehechan Adin Note, according to some, is the transition from the abstract case to the specific case. And that's what triggers both the Isser of Tzoa as well as the Isser of Lo Saguru Pnish. Next time, we'll continue with the Gemara and Ches. Yeah?
Can I just ask you quickly, on page 2, line 29.
Page 2, line 29. Go ahead.
How can you apply...
Page 2?
Yeah. Page,
the Ein Lecha Davar Shomei Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh V'Safek Sakana O Hezek Mamo.
How can you employ Ein Lecha Davar Shomei Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh
V'Hezek Mamo? You mean it should have been backwards?
No, it doesn't apply to Hezek Mamo.
No, he's saying nothing. You don't have to put yourself in the situation Lo Saguru Mipneish where you're being threatened. Or if it's Safek Sakana, either Pikuach Nefesh, Safek Sakana, or even Hezek Mamon, even if the guy's just going to come and burn down your house, you don't have to put yourself through that for this. That's what he said.